Well, we do bid each of you a very warm welcome along to our prayer meeting this evening, and those also who are watching online. We're going to commence our service this evening by singing the hymn 311, the hymn 311. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. The hymn 311, and we'll keep our seats while we sing. Let us just bow together in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this evening that we are found in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, that we are building for heaven, not upon our works, but we rejoice that we are building upon Christ, the solid foundation. And we thank you, Lord, for that day when we came to thee and our burden rolled away. We thank thee for that sweet assurance that thou hast given to us. We thank thee for the word of God that drives out those doubts and that draws us even closer unto thyself. And our Father, we thank thee for thy hand upon us this day already. We thank thee for food, for fellowship. We thank thee for the health that we enjoy. And we can say tonight that good is the God whom we serve. And we thank thee, O God, that the best is yet to come. We rejoice that one day that thou wilt draw us to glory, to be with thee for all of eternity. Until that day come, Lord, keep us faithful. Keep us, Lord, filled with my fervency in thy service, and make us useful for the extension of thy kingdom. We thank thee for drawing us to the place of prayer tonight. And we pray, Lord, pour out thy spirit upon us this evening. Even as we read the scriptures, we pray that we would hear thy sweet voice tonight. And Lord, that through thy word, that thou wouldst prepare us to seek thy face. We thank thee that thy word is as water. We rejoice that it sanctifies us. And we pray that we might know that washing of the word, even in our hearts, that we might be able to come before thee this evening. Remember those who, Lord, are not well tonight. We pray for thy good hand to be upon them, undertake for them in these days. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst pour out thy spirit now upon us. For we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the book of Genesis and to the chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. While you're finding the place, could I just mention to you this book? It's Go Through with God, No Sacrifice Too Great. It's written by Stanley Barnes and Victor Maxwell, and it's on the life of Emma Munn. And I'm sure some of you would have known our sister. She was a missionary in West Africa for many years. And I think at the end up she went to our Carrickfergus church. And I never met her, but she was a real character. Of all the stories I've heard about her down through the years, she was a real firebrand for God and a real character. So that book's available there this evening. It is priced £6, and the proceeds are going to help the work there in Deborah House in Romania. And the book itself is dedicated to the Reverend Wesley Graham, who pioneered and was a great help in the work there in Nepal. And he went to be with the Lord about 11 months ago. So that book's available tonight, and you can pick it up as price £6. The book of Genesis, the chapter 9, Genesis chapter 9, and we're reading just from the verse 8. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living thing that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. Let's just bow together briefly in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for the reading of thy word. We rejoice that every chapter, every verse, every word is precious. And we thank you, Lord, that even as we come to thy word this evening, that we have that confidence that thou hast a word even for our own hearts, that we rejoice you speak through thy truth. Lord, to that end, come among us and open up the book and prepare us even for the seeking of thy face. We recognize without thee we can do nothing. So, Lord, bring to our mind that which thou would have us to say, and we pray, give us that simplicity of speech. Lord, we need thy help. So close us in with thyself and warm our hearts, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. The book of Genesis, chapter 9, I want to draw your attention before we come to prayer to the verses 13 and 14. I just set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, the bow shall be seen in the cloud. After the fall of Adam and Eve, sin quickly spread across the face of the earth, polluting even the sons of God. We find their children in Genesis chapter 6 becoming giants in sin. They stalking the land, the Lord opening up the fountains of the deep. He sent a universal flood, sweeping away mankind. The waters eventually began to assuage. Dry land appearing, the Lord promised that he would never destroy the world again by a flood. And as a mark of that covenant, he set a bow or a rainbow in the heavens. Over the years, many myths have arisen concerning the rainbow. In some ancient European civilizations, it was believed that if you were a man and you walked beneath a rainbow, that you would immediately become a woman. As a child, I can remember being told that at the end of the rainbow, you will find a pot of gold. Of course, that was very convenient, as the laws of physics make it impossible to find the end of a rainbow. And in the ancient world, it beginning to rain, they no doubt feared the worst. They feared that another flood was maybe coming, a flood such as had swept away their neighbors, their loved ones, turning the world upside down. And in setting the rainbow in the heavens, the Lord was reminding them that there was no more wrath or there was no more condemnation. The world would never be destroyed again by a flood. And you know, tonight in Christ, our souls are judgment-proof. There is for us no more wrath or no more condemnation. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." He did not say there would be no more failure or that there would be no more sin, but rather he said there would be no more condemnation. And you see, our souls are not only saved by Christ, but they are sealed in Christ, and therefore they are saved. No more judgment, no more condemnation can ever fall upon our souls. In fact, the word bow here is the same word that is used in other places to refer to a battle bow. Of course, the battle bow was a weapon of death and destruction. And in Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, we are reminded that the Lord is a man of war. However, if you look up into the sky, you will notice that the rainbow, although stretched across the heavens, it is not pointing towards the earth, but rather it is pointing towards the heavens. And you see, Christ, having borne the wrath due to his people, the bow of his wrath is no longer pointing towards us. There is for us tonight no more judgment. There is no more wrath. There is no more condemnation.
And I would say to you, child of God, this evening, the next time you go out and the clouds are dark and the sun begins to shine and you see a rainbow, rejoice, rejoice, because God's bow, the bow of his wrath, it is no longer in his hand, but he has taken it and he, as it were, has hung it up in the clouds. You see, God is no longer full of wrath towards his people. His bow of judgment is no longer bent or pointing towards us this evening. There is no more judgment, no more condemnation. And so I want tonight, just for a few moments, to consider the bow or the rainbow. I want you to notice, firstly, the season of the bow. Seeking to calm their fearful hearts, the Lord said in verse 14, "And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." The rainbow is not always visible. In fact, most of the time we do not see the rainbow. It is only when the clouds darken down and the rain begins to fall that the rainbow then suddenly appears. And shining forth in its magnificence, it brings a grandeur and a magnificence to an otherwise gray sky. In fact, the thicker the cloud, the darker the cloud, the brighter the rainbow, the more it stands out. Noah and his descendants looking up and seeing the rainbow in all of its magnificence, it would have assured them that another judgment or another flood was not on its way. And the darker the clouds of judgment, the darker the clouds, the brighter the rainbow stands out, the more clearly it is seen. And rather than leaving his people comfortless, the Lord comforts them. In fact, the darker the day becomes, the brighter the rainbow of his assurance also becomes. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, being arrested and transported to the city of Rome as a prisoner, his ship was caught in a great and terrible storm. In fact, Paul tells us that neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. And just when all hope of survival was finally taken away, Paul said in Acts 27, in the verses 23 and 24, "There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that seal with thee." And all hope fading away, the bow of assurance suddenly appeared with great brightness in his life, assuring him that all was well. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 5, "For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." You underline there the word abound. In other words, the darker the clouds would become, the brighter the promises of his assurance would also become. You see, our dark days are often our best days. It is in the storms of affliction that sweet assurance floods and fills our hearts. Indeed, the stones bouncing off Stephen's body, he looking up, he saw the heavens opening, and he saw the Lord standing there, ready to receive him into glory. What assurance in that moment flooded his heart. Again, Job, seeing his children's lifeless bodies and feeling the pain shooting through every part of his body, he cried out, For I know that my Redeemer liveth. It was in the dark time. It was when the clouds were thick and the clouds were gathered that assurance flooded Job's heart. Oh, believer, tonight, are you going through difficult times? Are the storms of affliction blowing with severity across your life so that you have begun to doubt your salvation? Then I say to you tonight, lift up your eyes and look up. Just as the rainbow appeared in the dark times, assuring Noah and his descendants that there would be no more condemnation, so the Lord will come and the Lord will assure your heart. Oh, believer, don't despise the dark times. Don't despise the hard times in life. In those times, if only you look up, the Lord will come to you and the Lord will assure your heart. Can't you see this people lifting their eyes? The clouds are gathering. The rain is beginning to fall. They lift their eyes and they see the bow. And assurance floods their hearts. And in the dark times of life, if only we take time to lift our eyes and look to Him, He will assure our hearts. Not only do we notice the season, but notice the source of the bow. Seeking to assure them, he said in verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. The rainbow is only seen when the rain clouds gather, darkening the entire sky. However, the rain clouds in themselves do not create the rainbow. It is only when the sun begins to shine is it seen. Its rays falling upon and reflecting of the droplets of rain. It is then and only then that the rainbow can be seen in all its beauty and significance. Take away the sun and the bow in that moment disappears. And in Psalm 84, we are told the Lord, our God, is a sun. In fact, the Lord said in verse 13, I have set my rainbow in the skies. In the original Hebrew language, the expression here is much, much stronger. It could be read, I behold I. The emphasis here is placed upon the I. In other words, he was indicating that no one else other than himself could set the bow in the heavens. In other words, the bow which assured them that this new world would not be destroyed by another flood came from the Lord, and it came from the Lord alone. And you see, true assurance, it comes from the Lord, and it comes from the Lord alone. It is only as we allow His warming rays to fall upon our souls that our assurance begins to swell. Indeed, Solomon, taking up his pen, he said in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in the verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And sitting beneath his shadow, his heart was warmed and comforted. Assurance comes only from the Lord. It is only as we sit beneath his rays that we find assurance. Sometimes when doubts come into our hearts and into our minds, there's that temptation to look out. And if you in those times look out, and the tendency is in those times, you'll look at the best Christian that you know. And looking at their life, at least what you see outward like, it'll only increase your doubts. Or sometimes there's that tendency to look within. And looking within, you will see only your sin. And you see only your corruption. And the clouds will grow thicker and thicker. Only the Lord can give assurance. As the Lord put the rainbow in the heavens, only the Lord can give you assurance. It's only as you sit in his presence, as you wait in prayer before his word, that those fears will be calmed, those doubts will evaporate, and assurance will come and fill your heart. Notice also the stability of the bow, because verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. You notice here that it was an everlasting covenant. More than that, this covenant was not dependent upon Noah or upon the people of that generation. In fact, a few verses later, we find Noah and his sons becoming drunk with wine, losing self-control, they sinking into the mire of depravity. Some of his sons entered down into the most vile, wicked, and horrific sins. Nevertheless, while the skies darkened and the rain began to fall, it eventually ceased. You see, this covenant that God had made, that he would not destroy the earth again with a flood, it wasn't dependent upon Noah. It wasn't dependent upon his sons. It was not dependent upon their works, but only upon God. In fact, the Lord said in verse 17, I have established it. And the particular word there means to make firm or make sure. You see, our salvation tonight, it does not depend upon our works, but upon his work. Our failures do not disannul it, nor destroy it. Indeed, you go forward into Romans chapter 7, we find the Apostle Paul there in a dark place. He's lamenting his own weakness, finding himself again and again doing that which he ought not to do, and then also failing to do that which he ought to do. My, he cried out, oh, wretched man that I am. He had no inflated notion of himself. He recognized his failing. He recognized his corruption. Yet no sooner did he utter these words than he said in Romans 8, verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. While he failed in his works, the word of the Lord did not fail. While we at times can break God's heart, and we do, we cannot break God's covenant. It is everlastingly sure. I suppose with COVID, we have seen more rainbows in the last year than we probably have seen for a decade. And the rainbow has come to symbolize the NHS. However, while we today see rainbows in windows and on doors, we seldom see one in the sky. However, while we can see the rainbow often in the sky, it doesn't mean that it's not there. If you were able to rise up above the clouds and go to the other side of the clouds, there you would see it clearly. And although at times we can't see God's covenant, we can't see it with our eyes, yet God, as it were, dwelling on the other side of the clouds, his eye is always upon it. He never forgets his covenant with his people. Sadly, we do feel. Sometimes we read like the story of Noah and we think, Noah, you saw the flood, you saw the world destroyed, God preserved you. How could you and your sons act so foolishly? And yet do we not fall often ourselves? However, remember that our failures can break the covenant. our sins cannot break the covenant. It's an everlasting covenant that God has made with us. Notice also the substance of the bow. We're told in verse 13, I just set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Up until the time of the great flood, there never had been a shower of rain upon the earth. It had been watered by a mysterious mist. However, because of sin, the Lord punishing the wickedness of man, the clouds began to gather. Finally, bursting open, they destroyed the earth. And now, taking the rain and causing the sun to shine upon it, the Lord turned that which had brought hurt and havoc to their hearts to reassure and to comfort their hearts. And taking that which ordinarily brings despair, the Lord is able to turn it to bring delight. He takes our sorrows and he turns them into songs. Indeed, the prophet cried out in Hosea chapter 2 in the verse 15, and I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. The word Achor there simply signifies trouble. Taking that which signified trouble, he said that he would turn it into a door of hope, which would bring joy and bring hope. And God is omnipotent. He's able to take that which is meant for harm and to turn it even for our good. Sometimes in life, things seem unexplainable. Why does a tornado destroy one house and leave another house untouched? Why does one brother excel while another struggles all his life? Why does a tumor come back when the doctor said that it would never come back? The list of such questions are endless. And the danger is that we tend to judge things by their beginning rather than by their ending. And believer, we need to have a long-term perspective because God is able to take that seemingly harmful thing. God is able to take that seemingly hurtful thing and in time turn it for our good and for our benefit. The writer said, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but I was none the wiser for all she had to say. Then I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she, but oh, the lessons I did learn when sorrow walked with me. And how often things come into our lives and they seem harmful, they seem hurtful. But my friend, God is able to take those very things and to use them to comfort us. Just as he took the rain that destroyed the world, and he used the rain with the sun shining through it to give assurance of the covenant that he had given to them. Oh, what a God we serve this evening. He's able to use everything for our eternal good and for our spiritual well-being. That doesn't mean that everything is going to seem good to us. But the end will be good. Then there was also the seeing of the bow, verse 16. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. The storm clouds gathering. We tend to look at the clouds. However, while we are gazing upon the thunder clouds and cowering under their threats, God is looking upon his bow, or he's looking upon his covenant. And like the Lord, I say to you, child of God tonight, rather than looking at the thunderous clouds, the dark clouds, look upon the covenant. Keep your eye upon the promise of God. When Helen Lemmel was only 12 years of age, she left England to go to the United States of America. Her father was a Wesleyan Methodist pastor. She eventually joined the faculty of Moody Bible Institute, and there she taught vocal music. At the age of 54, she, taking up her pen, she wrote the words, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full at his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace." And I say to you, child of God tonight, if your heart is fearful, if there's doubts and you can only see the thunder of judgment, then lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and see, as it were, God's rainbow. He's not forgotten his promise. At times we don't see the rainbow, but God always sees it. And he is never forgetful of his covenant. Oh, let us rejoice tonight. Let us rejoice that, he has made a covenant with us, that judgment will never, never fall upon our souls. There is no more condemnation. Let us remember, and let us rejoice even in those things this evening. Let's just bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for thy so great salvation. Lord, we rejoice that not only you saved us, but you entered into a covenant with us. We thank thee that we are thine, eternally thine. Oh, we rejoice tonight, nothing, yea, but nothing, can separate us from the love of God. And Lord, we rejoice this evening in thy so great salvation. And just as Noah would have lifted his eyes in the dark times and looked at the rainbow, and the fears in his heart and his descendants' hearts would have drifted away, oh God, help us to keep our eyes upon the covenant that thou hast made with us. So, Lord, we pray that you'd be with us this evening, even as we come down to prayer tonight, that thou wouldst help us to seek thy face and to pray down even the blessing of heaven. So, Lord, be with us tonight and help us, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen.